climb that stage, across that alley, beyond that velvet cage. Until then, here we remain with our strength, rain, singing ways.
Tonight it could all be ours. Okay. We heard Stupidity at the top of the hour, their brand new CD, 10 Years of Stupidity. And we heard a song, Too Bad. And after that, we heard the brand new Johnny Bonds. He just came out with a blues album called Johnny Bonds and the Thin Blue Line. And that is a Willie Dixon tribute. And unfortunately, our call with Beth Harrington is not going to happen today. We ran into some technical difficulties. We will have to reschedule. Sorry, Beth. When we find out what's wrong, why it isn't picking up, we'll have you back on. Sitting next to me is Doug McDonald from the Doug McDonald Band, unless he's an imposter. Can you tell me if you're truly Doug McDonald?
I think I am, yes.
Can you
prove it? Let me pinch myself to make sure.
Did you bring a DNA sample?
I know. No, too many skeletons in my closet. No, thank you.
Well, they have DNA on them. Then what can we charge you for?
Anything.
There we go. So, what's happened in the wacky, wild world since I last talked to you? You were signed to Bongo Boy Records.
Yeah, thanks to you. You introduced us to him, and, really appreciate it. You know, you said send your stuff out to him. We did. They signed us, so they're going to put it out this month. The 13th is going to be the CD release.
So they're picking up the CD right here?
Yes, Lightning Head, Doug McDonald Band. Yes.
How did you come to that name, Lightning Head?
The drummer thought of it, Patty. I don't know where she came up with it. I didn't ask her. I just thought it was good title. So, yeah. She kind of comes up with some names for stuff, which is good. You know, kind of. She's got funny ideas, so it's good.
Well, it's good to have funny ideas.
Yeah.
Can you give us a brief description of how you got involved in music, where your start was, bands like that led you up to this band and the CD?
Yeah, I was. I started playing when I was about 13, 14. I played my brother's band years ago, and I played drums at the time, and I just really enjoyed music my whole life. You know, yeah. Played the Channel, the Paradise when I was a really young kid, like 13 years old, I think.
Do you remember it was the Mad Hatter?
No.
Oh.
No, I was young.
Yeah.
Remember the first show I played? I was, I think, 14, and we played backed up G.G. Allen. And
that's a baptism of
yeah,
fire.
And they pulled me out of the room fast, you know, because
yeah.
I was a little kid, you know.
Yeah.
And
it brings a whole new meaning to poo-poo head.
Yeah. So that was
you wouldn't know Aaron. He's you don't want to know.
Right.
Unfortunately, he's no longer on this planet, and he's defecating in another realm.
Yeah. So that was a... You know, being around rock and roll and nightclubs since I was 13, and you know, I just love playing music. You know,
you're a South Shore person.
Yes, from Braintree.
Okay, we won't hold that against you.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
Oh, you got to put your mic up, Aaron.
Oh, we need you. We need you here.
Not everybody's from this side of the
greatness.
Yeah.
The Great Divide. When you pass, like you know. South Boston, it gets really good.
Oh, yeah.
It gets really good.
Good, yeah.
One day I'll make it over the other side, you know?
What, to his side, the dark side?
No, really.
I have dated some South Shore girls, and they're excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. And they weren't your sister.
You know.
He had to.
Yeah.
In past tense.
Yeah.
So, who were your... I know you played with your brother's band and everything, but who were your influences growing up? Who did you look to... besides your brother, was there other music in the house?
Yeah, my oldest brother, Tom, used to listen to a lot of great music, you know, and listening to his record collection, you know, obviously the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and just all the great stuff that came out, you know, back then, you know, and just through the decades, just listening to albums, you know, and just picking out what I like, you know, from the Ramones to, you know, we were just talking about the Monkees, even, you know?
Of course, yeah, the Monkees are...
great stuff. Neil Diamond wrote a lot of their stuff.
Boyce and Hart,
yeah.
Carole King, and then they started writing their own stuff.
Yeah.
After the TV show went off the...
Mike Nesmith, as a writer, was
excellent.
Excellent.
Some of my favorite Monkee songs to him.
Yeah. And his solo album was excellent.
Yeah.
You know?
Elephant Parts.
Who were they?
No, that's the name of his album.
One of his
Elephant
albums.
I didn't know
and,
the name of it.
Of course, Mickey had been an actor.
Yep.
Dave was an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Davey was in Oliver Twist as Oliver.
Uh-huh.
And then, he, of course, he was a jockey.
Yeah.
And Mickey was Circus Boy. And, you know, the Mickey learned how to play the drums. He did not know how to play the drums.
Right.
Because there were two musicians in the band. Peter Tork and Mike Nesmith.
Right.
And there were two actors. And, yeah, as a matter of fact, Mickey...
Well, they were singers. They weren't just actors, they were singers, too.
Yes, but it was... and, of course, you know, lost Davey too early. And his book was called They Made a Monkey Out of Me. Ironically.
Like a big bop or something.
Well, unfortunately, we lost him too early, too. But, you know... so, who do you listen to today?
I don't know. I just kind of thumb through a lot of older albums. I don't really listen to that much.
Contemporaries?
Yeah, there's a few here and there. I mean,
yeah. Well, the bands like the White Stripes and Black Keys,
I don't listen to them, no.
They do kind of the same.
They do a two-piece thing, but, I don't really, connect with their music really that much, you know?
But if you do go out, who do you see? I mean, you know, you go out and see Robin Lane, you go out and see, you know, when Mike wasn't on hiatus from the Brigands. I mean, you know, who do you see?
I don't really...
He doesn't leave his room.
He likes looking at Wolf.
Yeah.
That's what gets his inspiration from.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really go out as much, you know, to see, and a lot of people probably, you know, would want me to come out and see their bands and stuff, but I just haven't had time, you know.
Well,
everything is so short now for me, you know.
Is that a height joke? No, I'm just kidding. So, you have a website for the band?
Yeah, well, we use the Facebook right now, yeah. Our website is down, so we use that and Reverb.
And do you have any videos
yet? Yeah, YouTube.
YouTube?
Doug McDonald Band on YouTube.
Any gigs coming up?
Let me look here.
Excuse me. And we see the Bongo Boil seal on the back end.
Yeah, I think we have in August. I forget. We're taking a month off right now. Because I'm going back to school, I'm taking some classes, so I'm going to be doing that, and we're just taking some time, just pushing the album right now. We're not really playing any shows, just kind of...
Well, like my What's Happening page, and make sure that when your gigs come up, they're out there. Know that your CD's out there.
Yeah.
And,
want to hear a song off the CD?
Yes, we play a song off the CD.
What would you like to hear off this? Do you know your CD? You know the songs?
I write the songs, yes.
What about Atomic Funk is good? The title, okay. The first song on the...
And you do the writing?
I do all the writing.
Okay, yeah.
So
any inspiration from the song, or...?
Maybe a little bit political.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay, we'll give it a spin, see what it sounds like.
Absolutely. And away we go.
You're listening to WMFO. This is What's Happening with Mike Stewart.
I'm Aaron.
Doug McDonald here.
And I'm Aaron Shadwell.
Okay, we have a couple Aarons here. Is that Aaron Squared?
Apparently. I think it is.
Where is that? Next to Union Square?
It is next to Union Square. It's the town of squares, man.
Yeah. Okay, Doug, you want to let us know that basically you're going to probably take a little time off this summer?
Yeah, just probably like a month. I think we're playing Eddie's over in Revere. Is it Revere? Eddie's Beachside there. Where is that?
I think that's South Shore.
I don't know where it is.
Oh, I know there's an Eddie. It's E-D-D-Y.
My drummer's probably going like, he's dropping the ball big time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been a really wild week. We played last night at the Carlo Rose in New Hampshire, so that was good. It's like a smoke bar.
Oh.
They smoke cigars.
They stick it a little bit in your pocket and make you feel at home.
Whatever those things are, they smoke out of the pipe there.
The hookahs.
So, yeah, it was fun. You know, good place and, you know, good response and... You know, and then we got stuff, and we're playing in July and August once. You know, you can just come on the Facebook page, Doug McDonald Band, and, you know, we'll post the shows.
And
we got the big one here. It's coming
out. Let them
know
how they can get a hold of your CD now on Bongo Boy Records.
On iTunes, CD Baby. It's going to be on everything, Amazon. It's going to be put out June 13th.
Excellent.
So it's worldwide, so that'll be good on Bongo Boy Records. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming in today, Doug.
Hey, thank you.
There you go.
All right.
Good luck with that.
All right, and thanks for playing the stuff, and I'll keep in touch with you, obviously.
Definitely, definitely.
Aaron, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, good luck, fella. All right.
And as Doug departs, hear him. He walks out the door.
Gotta catch that bus.
Yeah. Take care.
It's the last one of Clarksville.
Hey, thank you. Let me know when you want to do that.
We have Aaron Shatwell right over here to my right side. How you doing there?
I'm good, man.
Looks like you have some type of sunburst Yamaha guitar there.
That is a true statement.
Yeah. Where are you out of, Aaron?
I'm originally from Kansas.
Kansas?
I'm originally from the Midwest.
There's a lot of jokes here, but we won't touch those.
I've heard them all.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. Most of them are good, too.
Well, if you can copyright them.
You know.
The original joke right here, no.
Right. Ooh.
Where are you located now? Where are you running out of now?
I spend most of my time in the Boston.
Okay, Boston area. Yep. Yeah. And you've been playing some of the local clubs here?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Not sure, South Shore, Boston, Cambridge,
Boston proper and Cambridge. And
a couple clubs in particular?
Over the years, I've played everything from, like, Mansfield, the big place out in Mansfield, to, like, house concerts.
Oh, great.
You know, so
that house concert seems to be a big thing that's been taken off, very intimate.
Yeah.
A lot of people like them.
Yeah, house concerts are really, really cool, man.
Yeah.
I think they're really special stuff.
House concerts and the porch fests and...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing Brookline Porch Fest coming up. It's on my website, aaronshadwell.com. That is June 10.
Yeah.
All the details are at the...
So that's next Saturday.
That's correct. Yes.
And what time would that be?
All the details are on the site, aaronshadwell.com. I think it's 2 p.m. I'm pulling that from memory, but it's all on the site.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
the details are there.
And your experience in the Boston area, I think, was probably a little bit different than in the Midwest?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How is the radio structured? Is it more top 40 oriented, or is it mixed bag?
Out in...
In the Kansas
Midwest, I didn't do that much. I was really young when I left there, so I didn't do any of that kind of stuff.
Do you have any folks or friends back then?
I do actually. Yeah. I have a tour in August, and I have like a one off in Utah, and then I come and I hit Kansas after that, and we're still working on a Kansas show.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's it's obviously very different from here.
Yeah. Well, you like to see a homeboy come back and
sure,
play.
Man, sure, yeah, yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I've only played out there once before, in like recent times, And then I'm looking forward to going back.
That's great. Yeah, well, we're very happy to have you in the studio.
You.
I know there's been a lot of back and forth between me and you and Aaron. And
that's all right.
It finally gets done.
Yeah, here we are. That's
just
important.
We apologize for the Beth Harrington interview today. We had a little difficulty with the phones. We're going to reschedule that at a further time. If you have any question, go to Beth Harrington's Facebook site, her Music Ear, if I pronounce that really, project that she's doing. And you can probably check that out, and hopefully we'll have her on again soon. So.
Yeah, matter of fact, when your album just originally came out, you and I spent a long time talking back and forth, going over the songs and listening to the songs. And, you know, it was just spectacular because listening to it, I mean, Bowtie hit me immediately, you know. And, I think we spent a couple hours when we first met chatting back and forth over the songs.
It was cool to do that with you and to sort of like talk you through what the songs were about and give you a framework and
coming up with my thoughts on it, which seemed to fit where they fit in.
Yeah, and that's, hopefully the idea is that, you know, I don't aim to be, obtuse, really. I want people to understand what stuff's about.
Oh, it's very understandable, but, you know, when you put the whole album together and you think about it, and it's relationships and being together, being apart, and Good Night Friday. I mean, great name for an album.
Yeah, that record was. I made that record. You know, I had been in a period of severe doubt about music and doing this. A lot had happened for me personally, a lot of stuff in my family had happened that was really hard, and I wasn't sure really what was next. And I ran into this friend of mine at a TT the Bears before TT's closed. You guys know TT's, of course.
Now it's called Sonia.
Yeah, now it's a different spot, and it was at the Rumble that year, and he said, just come over, just bring songs over, just come over. He wouldn't really take no for an answer. He just said, come over.
I'm glad you didn't.
And before I knew it, we were starting to make this record. And I really had no idea what was going to happen next. I didn't understand. I didn't think I could make another record. I'd been through so much, and I was so just sad. I mean, to put it really simply.
How would you describe your music? What is the focus?
Well,
is it, you know, a certain genre?
Sure. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, it's roots music. It's like, you know, there's a lot of blues and rock in it, and I love the sort of storytelling you can do with sounds in that sort of like sonic landscape kind of way of thinking. And I really think about that, and we kind of, I remember during the making the record, we were talking about, you know, in almost like cinematic terms, like if this were a movie, what kind of
painting
film,
a picture,
yeah, what kind of film would this be? Is it like a spy? Is it like a noir spy film, or is it like a bright, sunny, rom com or something? You know
the
what I mean?
Best songs paint pictures.
Yeah, I think that's
and
the
these
goal.
Definitely do.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And you don't feel any pressure to do like alt country or country. I know that's a lot of pressure for a lot of people now because it's very popular.
No. I'm not, you're going to like what I do or you're not going to like what I do. Period. The end. But I'm doing it.
Comes from.
Because I need to do it.
Yes.
For me. And I'm not going to step on stage doing something I don't think is right.
The reason I ask that is a lot of people are influenced by the television programs, The Voice, America's Most Wanted.
Sure.
And
some
people feel this is a very narrow path for new artists, and it has to be within certain genres. And we are happy that people resist that and go their own path.
Sure. I think there's a fine line with that stuff. I actually auditioned for one of those shows, and I very quickly felt like it wasn't about music. And in retrospect, while certainly the attention, had I gotten on it or whatever, probably would have opened a lot of doors, and in ways, that's cool. You know, who doesn't want opportunity? But I also saw that maybe that's not really right.
They saddle you?
It looks like a cattle call.
It is one. I mean, you're there for hours and you wait. You are called in large groups.
If you get in.
Probably like 50 or something. And then you get called into a little room of like 10 people and you all sit and you stand up and you sing.
Yeah.
And I stood up and I sang. And I did like a girl pop song. I sang a Britney Spears song. Just to be, you know, because the audience can't see me, but I'm a white dude, capital W white dude with blonde hair and blue eyes and a beard.
We had to pull all the shades out so we didn't get sunburned.
Yeah, so I don't get a sunburn and lose my sight. So I did that sort of to be a little bit funny. I really like juxtaposition in my music anyway. So.
So should we play something off the CD first, or do you want to play first?
Yeah, do you have tracks? I'd love to, yeah.
Right, that's why I just gave you the...
awesome.
I mean, they're not in order as they are on the album because...
Right.
But
let's play. Let's try to play the sixth track on the list you gave me, which is a song called Frostbite. Let's see if we get that one. We'll see if we get that because there's a kind of a cool story about that song as the heart of the record. And I think.
Why don't we go right to the song? Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Aaron Shadwell.
Welcome back. Great song. due to the fact that that might not have been the one we wanted, but
no,
it has, you said it has a great story behind
There's
it.
There's a fun story behind that. That's the song called Party Gonna Run Out, and we were close to the end of the record, and I realized that there was like this missing voice for the record. There's this missing character, and I wrote this tune, and it's all centered around these sort of characters from history, some of the 60s and whatnot, that are trapped by fame in one form or another, and living this probably pretty empty life, all set against this rich girl and her crazy party lifestyle and complete disregard for other people. And I had been bugging my producer, who played drums on the record, Dave Brophy. He's a wonderful drummer, and he's very understated, and I had just been bugging him to be obnoxious at the drums. I'm like, I just want you to do something stupid and obnoxious and like way over the top. You know, he came up like playing jazz. Like he's like a musician's musician. He's really wonderful. And at the end of the song, you can hear us screaming, and that's because I was sitting next to him as he played this drum take. And he finally, you know, kind of let the horses out of the barn as I asked him to. And I was so psyched when he did it. And I just was like screaming at him at the end of the track. So I'm screaming at him and he's laughing back at me. And we just left it in there.
Oh, it sounds great. It fits.
Yeah. Thank you. It was the thing that the record really needed. Like it had been to all these really kind of dark places, and I needed this sort of like fun track that was also kind of pissed off, you know, about this character and the way she had, you know, the way she treats people, which I just wasn't really into. So
should we try back at the song we were trying?
Sure, let's try to play Frostbite. We'll see if we get for the tech is our friend right now.
We'll be back.
The pain lingers.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Aaron Shadwell.
And this is the opening to another track.
Yeah, it is.
We've gone wrong again. My plan run awry.
How's it going?
Okay.
So we just heard Frostbite, which is was kind of the heart of that record. When we were working, we had been at it for a long time. We had a lot of versions, and my producer Dave, he was on tour in France, and I wrote him this email, and I was like, "Hey man, I just went back to some of the early demos of Frostbite, and I think we missed the mark." And we were months in, we were months in, and I thought for sure he was gonna quit the record. I really did, and I don't. He's not the kind of guy that'll ever tell you like what he really thought back then. He just won't. It's just not his jam. But I'm convinced he was, you know, inches from just being like, And we went back and we re-recorded it. And when we did that time where I had, you know, up until then, I had really been like mega, mega doubting whether or not there was anything going to happen or I could do this or that I felt I had anything to say. And when Frostbite landed at what you hear now, I felt like, okay, this is the heart of the record. You know, this is the heart of what this is about, and this is where I'm going musically. And it's really everything before it. You can hear the right turn or whatever. You can hear the change when you get to this track. And one of the big things was just not being afraid of being quiet.
We'd like to probably hear a live one before we wrap up in the end of the hour here.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
What would you like to play for us?
Yeah. I think it's probably appropriate to play the title track from Goodnight Friday, the song called Goodnight Friday. So you getting the guitar all right? So again, it's about embracing being quiet, you know? Having grown up listening to a lot of metal, that was not really the case, you know?
Dresses and drinks. Your ladies love you, but your heart is sinks. The glamour's a cool blood. Alone in the front room, we argue the facts. You're so convinced I got some girl on her back. Oh, but you can't see it through your rickshaw veins. Friday, Saturday, so long. By this time, Sunday, the sweetness will surely be gone. Good night, Friday, Saturday, so long.
by this time Sunday, the sweet lust will surely be gone. Yeah. It's been a good night, baby. It's been a good night, baby. It's been a good night, baby. It's been a the sweetness will surely be gone. Oh.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
Wish we had a two-hour show today.
Actually, I mean, do you have one more?
Yeah, sure. You want to hear another one?
Sure.
Yeah, so this is a song called Alton. And so I'm kind of like a drum nerd. Mm-hmm. I don't play drums, but I like them. And I went on Craigslist and I found this giant old marching bass drum, 26 by 12. It's huge. The kind of thing you'd see like a high school kid strapped to his chest, you know, running down the street playing them. So I went to this guy's house and I bought this drum. And we got to talking, he starts telling me the story. So this song is the story of this guy, Alton. He's a real dude. And Alton, if you happen to be out there, man, you inspired a song. He was a really friendly guy. He was a really, really great guy. And it was incidentally one of the happiest songs I've probably ever written, which is very unusual for me as a songwriter. Saxophone from an eight-piece wedding band called It's in the Touch. Oh, it's in the touch. Every man had a matching suit, cloud of blue from 72. It's in the touch. Oh, it's in the touch. 10,000 wedding bands. And over the years, some were held in Alton. Oh, I wanna be happy. Oh, dear Alton, why am I sad? Oh, dear Alton, I wanna be happy just the way you are. Pinball machines and odd push brooms. It's time to touch it. Oh, it's time to touch. Ooh. Every man had a matching theme dedicated to the heroes of his dreams. It's time to touch. Ooh. It's time to touch. Ooh. Oh, dear Alton, I wanna be happy.
that seems so good. Oh, it seems so good.
Thanks, guys.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
And they can find your CD at?
You can find music at aaronshadwell.com. A-A-R-O-N-S-H-A-D as in dog.